Turn with me to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Say that Psalm 42, we're going to just read Psalm 42, but actually some people think Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 are part of one psalm. Actually, I sort of see Psalm 43 as a Reader's Digest condensed version of Psalm 42. We're going to read Psalm 42. As you're turning, I'd like to tell you that in the mountain range of towering historical personalities, there's one man that seems to stand head and shoulders above the others. Is a man some of you would remember. If you're not remembered, you've read about him, you've seen films of him. The man's name is Sir Winston Churchill. You know, in World War II, God used Sir Winston's eloquent political rhetoric in much the same way that God used David's five smooth stones, except in World War II, it's to help bring down a Goliath by the name of Adolf Hitler. This man, Winston Churchill, was also known for his noonday, bright, sunny, optimistic outlook on life. Yet at the same time, this giant of a man, Winston Churchill, was a weak Samson before the Delilah of deep, debilitating depression. I want to read a passage to you from a book that I would recommend to all of you to read. It's called Churchill on Leadership. Listen to what he says about discouragement and depression. He describes them in this way, quote, "They are black dogs that have hounded me almost every day of my life." Again, Churchill, "On many a morning when I awoke, it was as if the black dogs of discouragement and depression were at the foot of my bed, snarling, growling, nipping at my toes." Friends, truth be known, what Sir Winston experiences, describes, is not a stranger to you or to me. Psalm 42 is written, remember this, by someone who loves the Lord. Keep that in mind as we begin reading in verse 1. Psalm 42, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you downcast, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, Mount Mizar, deep, calls to deep, at the roar of your waterfalls. All the breakers in your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands His steadfast love, and by night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me. They say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God." Keep your Bibles open before you. We're going to go back through and look at this psalm. It speaks a great word to us. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that your word meets us where we are in our life situation, because you know us inside and out. You know our problems. You also know the solution. Lord, we pray that you'll use this word greatly in our lives as we minister to ourselves and as we minister to others. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Roy Taylor used to tell us in homiletics preaching class, he said, try to anticipate what objections people may have to what you're preaching. Well, the objection that people may have this morning to what we're talking about is this. You don't understand, I'm a Christian. And Christians don't get discouraged. Christians don't get depressed. It's not Christian to be distressed and down and discouraged. Well, my first reaction would be, oh, really? But let me give you a better reaction. FYI, in the Bible, in church history, some of the best of God's servants have been bitten by the black dogs of discouragement and depression. Let me name just a few. Elijah, Jeremiah, Paul. In church history, Martin Luther, the Rambo of the Reformation. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, more recently two people you may have heard of, D. James Kennedy and John Piper. The black dogs of discouragement and depression have wandered into these people's yards on more than one occasion. Oh, and did I mention King David? Did you notice how many times he said he was downcast? But at the same time, it's obvious that this man loves the Lord with a consuming passion that he likens to the thirst of a deer being hunted by hunters looking for a fresh stream of water. This man loves the Lord, but he's downcast. He's disturbed in the deepest part of who he is. Verse 11, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why? This man has been attacked over and over by the Doberman pinchers of discouragement and depression. Yes, it is, make no mistake about it, it is possible to be a faithful follower of God and still feel this bite. Being a believer does not keep the dogs away. They're going to bark, they're going to chase, they're going to bite you. Let me give you one other example. There was one perfect man who lived. His name was Jesus Christ. He came to earth to do his Father's business and to carry out his Father's mission. And yet on two occasions, one in John 12, the other in Mark 14, listen to what Jesus says, and I'm quoting Jesus. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Friends, if the most perfect man, the only perfect man who ever lived, was overwhelmed with discouragement and sorrow, certainly none of us are safe from the black dogs. There's basically three people here this morning. There's those who have dealt with discouragement and depression at some point in time in our lives. There's those who will deal with discouragement and depression. And that third category, I hope you're not in it, is those who are in denial. You're in one of those two categories. Either you have or you will. Probably both. Isn't it great to know Psalm 42:43 is just what the doctor ordered? You need to realize this morning, by the grace of God, through the instruction of Scripture and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can deal with the black dogs of discouragement and depression. And what we have here is a diagnosis of the problem, first of all. And then secondly, we have some gospel rocks we can throw at the dogs. Or if you prefer, by the way, I'm not being anti-dog here, I'm just following up on what Winston Churchill says. Or if you prefer, these psalms are a pharmacy stocked with gospel medicine, designed to cure the problem we all have to deal with. Let's look now, first of all, at the diagnosis. Let's consider now the diagnosis of the problem of discouragement and depression. We ask, what is it that brings this dark cloud into our lives? Why do we feel so drained and downcast and discouraged? Well, there are several reasons the psalm gives us some. One reason is this. We become discouraged. We feel down. We get depressed because we isolate ourselves spiritually. If you notice in this psalm, the psalmist has been exiled. It's not his own doings. He's been exiled far from the people he used to worship with. He's no longer attending church. He's not worshiping, singing, fellowshipping, interacting, enjoying community with other believers. He's no longer in a place where a teacher of the word can take the smelling salts of biblical instruction and wave them under his nose and revive him. He's no longer in a place where his brothers and sisters in the Lord have his back. See, this man's absence from a believing community affects him in a negative way. All you have to do is pull a coal out of the fire, remove it from the fire, and you'll see how quickly a coal loses its fire and its heat and becomes cold. If you deprive yourself of the church community, it will cool your fire for the Lord. See, God's word is described as fire, and you need regular exposure to this fire. You need to warm your hands over this fire, but in community with other people. You know, the Bible, there's only a couple of books of the Bible that were written to individuals. Everything else was written to communities of people. See, without this fire to scare away the black dogs, you will be bit by the Doberman of discouragement. Now, let me acknowledge this. When you're feeling depressed, discouraged, the last thing in the world you'll want to do is walk out of your house and walk into the church. I talked to a lady today that told me that one of the toughest things she's had to do since something very difficult happened in her life is to walk back through these doors. But she did it. See, being with other Christians, being an active part of a worshiping community is necessary. If you quarantine yourself from the church, if you isolate yourself from other believers, the black dogs are going to be an ever-present danger in your life. So we become discouraged because we become spiritually isolated. Sometimes because we have to be, sometimes because we want to be. But notice also, we become discouraged because we live in a hostile environment. A hostile environment. If you look at verse 10, it's with deadly wounds in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me all day long. And this is repeated several times in the psalm. Where is your God? Certainly, this isn't a situation like the home in Home on the Range where seldom is heard a discouraging word. All the time, the psalmist is hearing someone say, where is your God? They're barking at him. It's daily, growling and biting away at the psalmist. Whenever you're discouraged, please remember always, part of the reason is because you are in the crosshairs of spiritual warfare. In this conflict, the very demons of hell will taunt you. Your adversaries will say, where is your God? Does your God care? Where is your God when that tornado hit that city in Mississippi? Where was your God in Charlottesville? Where is your God in North Korea and South Korea and the Pacific? Where is your God? Where was your God when that tsunami hit Japan? Where is your God when you lose your job? When you come home with that bad report from the doctor? Can't you hear the black dogs barking? And if you're already downcast, feeling a little down, taunting of your enemies will take on a pulverizing power. Remember this. When your adversary taunts you, Jesus has been exactly where you are. On the cross, as Jesus is hanging on the cross, bleeding, his enemies are barking out. He trusts in God? Okay, let God rescue him. Jesus, where is your God? See, we live in a fallen world, surrounded by God's enemies, taunting us. But you need to understand, Jesus hears those taunts. He knows our tears better than anyone else. As a matter of fact, if you look at the Gospels, Jesus took on the ultimate combination of assaults and insults on the cross. Listen, we live in a hostile environment, but no one ever lived in a more hostile environment than the perfect Son of God. Jesus has lived in the worst place. And you know, no matter where you are, if you're at ground zero for a nuclear bomb, you could not possibly be at a worse place than Jesus was when he was on the cross. There is no worse place in the universe than where Jesus was when he hung on the cross. Black dogs were barking and nipping at his bleeding feet. Listen, Jesus has been through it. And you know what? Because Jesus has been through the worst, when you're going through what you think is the worst, Jesus is right there with you. And he says, you know what? Been there, done that, I understand. We become discouraged because of hostility. Also because we're isolated. But also we become discouraged because we feel insignificant. There's an interesting phrase in verse 4. Look at it with me, 42:4. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go along with the throng, that is in community. But notice this part. And lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Evidently, at one point in time, the psalmist enjoyed a prominent ministry. Ministry of leadership. Now he's secluded from service and he feels insignificant. Friends, significance is a core need everyone in this room has. But significance is always tied into service. You're not going to feel significant unless you're serving others, unless you're serving God. That's what feeds your significance. See, God has designed us. He's put us on this earth as an expression of who we are, our identity as image bearers of God, our identity as people who follow Jesus, who said he came not to be served, but to serve. Our identity is bound up in investing our lives in the lives of the church and the lives of other people. If we don't, you lose your sense of identity, your sense of self. You become discouraged. I've talked to, over the last 30 plus years, I've talked to a number of people who've been unemployed, many retirees, and something they'll tell you is they just feel very useless. You know, God designed man, put him on the garden in the garden in Genesis 1 to work, to be productive. And oftentimes the darkest cloud hangs over people who say, you know, I used to be useful, but no longer. Show me a depressed, downcast person, and I'll show you someone who's no longer doing any significant ministry or service. So how do you deal with it? How do you deal with these black dogs? We've seen the diagnosis. Think about it. Are you isolated from other believers? Are you being opposed at work or at school by the enemies of the Christian faith? Are they barking at you? Are you not doing something useful and productive? If these things are true of you, rest assured, you'll be dogged by discouragement. You'll be downcast. You'll be depressed. But there is, and this is what I love about the Bible. Every single time, the Bible gives a diagnosis. But the Bible doesn't leave you there. The Bible gives a solution to the problem. And here's the solution. Notice in the second place, we see a solution in this psalm to the problem of discouragement and depression. Now, let me be quick to say, I want to give you this caveat because I'm serious about this. Sometimes in God's common grace, the good Samaritans of medical aid and Christian counseling are necessary to help those who are bleeding on the Jericho road of depression. Keep that in mind. There's nothing wrong with that. It's good. What the psalm gives us this morning is a spiritual remedy for our discouragement. If you want to throw the rocks at those dogs, if you want a remedy for the emotional flu of discouragement and depression, here's what we have to do. Talk to someone. If you talk to someone who is discouraged and who is depressed, I want you to notice a pattern in their speech. It always goes back to them. I, me, mine, this is happening to me, 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 me. The focus of people who are discouraged and depressed is always here. And the Bible tells you, if you want to get out of that quagmire, you've got to refocus. Refocus in four ways. First of all, you need to refocus your hope. Refocus your hope. Look at 43 verse 5, something that's repeated in 42, but I want to just take you over to 43. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. Notice that. Hope in God. You see, hope is only as good as its object. And hope is solid confidence in God and the promises He makes to us. In Pilgrim's Progress, if you never read that allegory, you need to. In Pilgrim's Progress, the key that gets Pilgrim out of the castle owned by giant despair is the key of the promises of God in the Bible. If you want hope to be fueled, you have to fuel it with the promises of God in the Bible. This God blesses us. He's the powerful God. He sings songs to us. I love verse 7 or verse 8. By day, the Lord commands His steadfast love. He's a covenant God who has latched on to us and will never leave us or forsake us. And at night, His song is with me. This God is so powerful, so loving, that this God raised our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the dead. He defeats the devil. He rules over everything. And He has brought us into His family. That first hymn we sang this morning, "This is my Father's world, but though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet." This God, through Christ, gives us a hope and a future. If you're feeling down, discouraged, say this: have I forgotten who God is? He's my Savior, my living Lord, my rock, my refuge. This God has a proven track record of His love, His faithfulness. He sent His Son to live and to die for me. And why? To infuse me with hope. We refocus on hope. Hope that comes from God is its object. Secondly, we refocus on God's Word. Again, I take you to Psalm 43. It says, "Send out your light and your truth." Little parallelism there. "Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill." In other words, reveal, shine your light into my dark heart. Reveal your truth to my confused mind. Reveal your grace in Christ to me. See, we have a duty, friends, to stock the shelves of our minds with the medicine we need to take during times of discouragement. Let me give you a couple of verses to memorize. I know that sounds like a dirty word, but it's not. It's a good word. Two verses to memorize. First verse is this, Romans 8:31. Begins with this: God is for us. Do you hear that? The most powerful person in the universe is for you. And He is for you. Not He might be if you act a certain way, if you jump through certain hoops. He is for you, and He is for you. He's not against you. And it's personal. He is for you. Memorize that verse. Another one, Romans 8:35. And that is this: who shall separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ? And the answer is nothing. You want deliverance from discouragement? Then become best friends with this book. Internalize this book. Refocus on the hope that is grounded in God. Refocus on God's Word. Third, refocus your passion. Verse 1 of 42. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul for you, O God, my soul thirsts for you. I want you to realize something today. You don't have thirst. You are thirst. God has put thirst within you. You are a living, breathing, walking, talking thirst. You're going to be thirsty for something, and you're going to try to fill the well of your soul with something. We do this. We say, Lord, create in me a passionate longing for you. Keep me panning. Here's a term. Keep me redemptively discontent until I find my ultimate refreshment in you. Then one other refocusing. I hope we have the Bible. We focus on the passion for the Lord, and then refocus your vision. Refocus your vision. Notice, last verse, verse 11. Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him. And then verse 4 of Psalm 43. I will go to the altar of God. I will praise God. You see, people who are depressed and discouraged, they look around and they see the dogs. They look within, I'm a mess. God says this, look in two different directions. Look up to God and look forward to the future. That's where your vision should be. Not here, not here, but look up to God, look forward to the future, because one day you will be part of a joyful worship woven into the very fabric of reality when Jesus returns and brings heaven to earth. You know, part of the reason we get depressed is the dogs of our past are howling, our circumstances surround us like a pack of hostile canines. We look inside. Jesus says, look ahead. This verse is a telescope. Look ahead to that time when Jesus is going to bring heaven to earth, when I will make all things new, God says. And everything you can think about that's wrong with this earth, you won't see it. You won't even remember it. You're heading to a perfect place. Martin Lloyd-Jones, before he was a pastor and one of the best preachers in the last century, was a medical doctor. And he said, and I quote, "It's hard for me to believe a Christian who claims he is never discouraged or depressed." He just doesn't believe it. Friends, you are vulnerable. But we worship a God of hope. God's word is a light dispelling our darkness. It is the rock we throw at the black dogs. God sent His Son to this earth to share in our discouragement of living in a fallen world. And God lifts our heads. He shows us a glorious future. And you know, in the vocabulary of our lives, yes, discouragement, depression, those words are there. But you know what? They don't have to be the final word. By God's grace, you can deal with this problem in your life. Let's pray. Lord, we confess oftentimes we are discouraged, that the clouds of depression hang heavy over us. Lord, it's easy to lose our focus, to feel isolated, surrounded by badness, just useless in the way we feel. But Lord, by your grace, for your glory, give us faith to focus on the hope that we have, hope that is fueled by the promises that you give us, which are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to go again and again to this pharmacy of Psalm 42 and 43 and take these gospel meds. Lord, help us to be passionate about you and about your word. Help us to focus on the future when everything that is wrong will be made right. And Lord, we pray that you'll lift those dark clouds from our lives and help us to walk in the light. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.